Hi everyone, welcome to Pod Bangtan, where we watch Run BTS and talk about it after. This week we are watching Run BTS episode 8.
Episode 8.
So, Katie, we watched episode 7 last week, where, just to recap, they were doing a survival game. Tell us a bit about this episode and where this is in the BTS timeline.
Cool. So this is definitely a continuation of last week's episode. It's the same like fall retreat filming situation. So this is definitely part two of this kind of season one finale. So we know that it was filmed at the same time. And I think last week we thought that this was probably filmed in like late October. Yeah, but it wasn't. The album wasn't released until the album. Oh my gosh, got album comebacks on my mind. This episode wasn't released until December 15th. So actually, between episodes 7 and 8 airing, there was like a month period, and we had a ton of content on V Live. And that is because BTS had a really big comeback during this period. So they released HYYH Part 2 on November 30th. And so they did a lot of trailers and teasers on VLive and lots of lives to like pump everyone up. And the lead single off this album, of course, was Run. So there was a lot of like Run-related promo happening.
BTS does love a November comeback season. Is that, do you think it's like prime real estate? Comebacks in
maybe
November.
It's to like keep it super fresh for the award show performances
at the end of the year. Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah. So I thought, given that, you know, as with most of these episode or season one episodes, it's pretty short, so I thought we could spend some time actually talking about this comeback and album and where we were in BTS history at this point.
Right. Okay. Take us through BTS history.
So the first like piece of content that we got about this comeback was the Nevermind comeback trailer. And yeah, I wanted to flag it because Suga actually talked about the making of Nevermind during Festa this year. Do you remember that?
I don't remember him mentioning it during Festa, but I think I really like that we're kind of going back in time to review their previous comebacks.
Yeah.
Because I think you and I's first comeback for them was like Dynamite.
Yeah.
Officially.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice to kind of see, because I guess, yeah, I haven't, of all the clips that I've seen of their past stuff, like I very rarely stumble on, you know, an MV teaser.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Suga's like background info on the making of Nevermind was that it took him a long time. It was the first intro he ever made. And he like wrote it and self-produced it. And he had to change the verse like 20 times, he said. And at the time, you know, this was 2015. So BTS was not the sensation yet that they are today. And he was working in a tiny practice studio that flooded whenever it rained. And the dance crew had to help him move all his equipment out because it flooded.
I see. That just reminds me of that scene in Parasite.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder if it was like that. And then just a side note, of course, Jimin has Nevermind tattooed on his chest.
Yes, that's right.
Which is actually a reference to the lyrics themselves, because the lyrics are, "It's not easy, but engrave it on your chest."
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know the significance of Nevermind as a tattoo for Jimin. But
yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yep. And he gestures at it when they're talking about it during Festa. He's like, Nevermind. And he points at his chest.
Yeah, it's true. It's like best kept secrets.
Yeah.
No, best known secrets.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows. You've got like the really low shoulder cut shirts.
Yeah, and his, like, you know, his, what was it, the memes where like his shirt doesn't seem to want to stay on.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So we've got the Nevermind comeback trailer. What
Yes.
else is there in
So
this comeback?
then there's Run. And so Run is the lead single, and the music video comes out the same day that the album is released on November 30th. And for me, I think the Run hair is the most iconic hair.
Yeah, I mean the Run hair is iconic with HYYH era. Like that is the like, 'cause as you say, this is part two. They like is a series, but if I think HYYH, this is the hair color visual that I envision.
And the standouts are like you've got Bubblegum Pink RM,
Which is my
who,
favorite look on RM.
and it's too bad because we talked about this in our first episode. I think that he got made fun of for this pink hair on a variety show during this
Yeah.
comeback, but we actually really love him with pink hair.
Love. Love. Yeah.
And then, of course, you have Mint Yoongi and Orange Jimin.
Yeah. Both iconic BTS looks for them.
And you have the choice of Taehyung with the green highlights. So I love the hair for them. And then the other thing to note about the Run music video is that it is the second contribution to the BTS universe storyline. So yeah, this is like their alternate universe storyline that they started with the I Need You music video.
Right.
And this is the second part of that. And like the story behind the alternate universe hadn't really come out yet. But obviously now we've got like a
A movie
game,
coming
a
out.
webtoon, a TV show or movie coming out, like books. There's so much stuff about these like alternate universe versions of these guys. It's
Yeah,
so
because when
in-depth.
people talk about, because I think you and I have learned, when people are talking about the BTS universe, they're not talking about like BTS and like they're not like aliens as a concept or whatever. It's like, or the fact that it's like their fandom and that's their universe. It's like literally an entire storyline of like fictional versions of them portrayed through a series of music videos and games and etc.
It's
Yeah.
so intense. I mean, if you see some of their interviews about it, they're like, our company was highlighting like the longevity of like Star Wars, how, Star Wars started 40 years ago, but people are still talking about it and still going to see these movies.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they were trying to create is like this Star Wars like storyline. It's wild.
I love Now Hype, but Big Hit just has such far foresight. Literally is like, okay, how do we make this really impactful and last beyond the music?
And kind of like give fans something to really dive into. And like theories, of course, this like I'm sure generated so much content at the time, like what's happening, what's the story, like how do these connect?
Yeah, because it also gives content for them to base songs off of, like emotionally. Because I think we've been talking about different artists and like they sometimes, create stories and write songs based on those stories. But it also kind of makes them more relatable through the universe. Because obviously, everyone who is, listening to their music aren't like living in Korea and like super, I don't know, wearing LV. Do you know what I mean? So it like brings another element of relatableness. Because I think, I mean, it from what I can tell, I haven't really dived very deep into it, but each storyline is affected by some kind of trauma.
It will
So.
be interesting to see if they do announce a comeback soon, if there will be connections to the BTS universe, because B was the first album where there was no connection to the BTS universe.
Oh. Yeah, so like whether this is like a one-off or whether they're completely taking a break from the universe.
And then just a fun fact slash very Namjoon moment. RM apparently injured his hand during the music video filming. And so in all their music show appearances to promote Run, he's wearing like a really big cast on his hand.
I mean, hashtag God of Destruction.
Yep, exactly.
in true form, RM injures his hand, but yep. I'm glad. I mean, in the last In the Soup episode, so I don't know if you've seen it yet, Katie, but he's doing fine physically.
I actually haven't. It's kind of like Run BTS. I don't want it to end, so I'm not watching the last episode.
I know. I can't believe it. Sorry, I don't want to digress, but I can't believe there's so few episodes of In the Soup. I just wanted to keep going.
I know. Oh, okay, yeah. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, okay. Let's go back to our Run BTS episode.
Okay.
So, we talked about the sneak preview of the Nevermind comeback trailer. There was the yep. Run music video. And then the Run comeback for BTS was pretty huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So early, like a couple weeks ago, a couple episodes ago, we talked about how I Need You was like their first ever music show win. And so that was like the summer right before. No. Yeah. That was like before they started filming Run BTS. They were having Need You wins and they won 5 music shows with I Need You. And then with Run, with this comeback, they actually eventually won 5 music shows as well. And their first win was on December 9th on the show. And they did a V-Live to celebrate. So that's another like piece of content that happened between episodes 7 and 8 of Run BTS. And they went on again a week later and won again. And then they also won a couple times on Music Bank. And I just wanted to note on this one, because this is one of your faves, Polly, Purple Gum, was hosting Music Bank at the time.
Yeah.
And there's a little VPBG moment. They like definitely hug and like have a moment in the background after BTS wins. So it looks like they're maybe friends already by this point.
I mean, I can't tell whether this is pre or post Hwarang.
Wasn't Hwarang in 2016?
Maybe. I can never place it, but I can like place V's baby face.
Yeah, at a certain point he ages up. Yeah.
Yeah, at a certain point he had a major like glow up. Boom, V, like sexy person.
The jawline. Whereas before,
he wasn't good looking, he just like looked different.
Yeah.
Is it during this, just a question, I don't know if you know the answer, Is this the era where they decided to develop the tradition of doing V lives after they win awards?
I mean,
or like for celebrations.
Yeah, I guess this is only the second time they are like winning music shows. So yeah, maybe they are like starting the traditions here.
Yeah, because it's not very common for artists to like V live their fans straight after winning an award.
Yeah.
They'll like do photos and stuff, but like not V live it, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, it's the BTS magic.
There you go. Okay, so following all of this. Yeah.
The last piece of content between episodes 7 and 8 of Run BTS that I wanted to talk about is their 2015 Mama performance in Hong Kong. So they all did, they did like a joint live, or they were all doing kind of like promo lives in anticipation of this performance. And again, Polly, this is right up your alley because they did a joint performance with GOT7.
It's true. I mean, it's pretty, I think there's a lot of, if you ever look up Jackson Wang and RM videos or like compilation videos of their friendship, there's an interview that someone does behind the scenes for the Mama prep where Jackson is like, RM never calls me. He's always so busy. Like, that is where this is from. In the behind the scenes. And I think it's really nice that they, like, I think there's, like, several points of friendship between GOT7 and BTS, obviously, because you've got Jackson Wang and RM randomly. And then you've got Yugyeom and JK being BFFs, 97 liners.
Yeah.
And obviously Bam Bam's part of that as well. Yeah. And I think Jin is friends with like the older members. No, Suga is friends with one of them. I forget. Okay. But I feel like there's a real kind of moments of touch points at various points. Do you know what I mean? It's not like one person was friends with another.
Yeah.
But I think it's like very rare nowadays. I mean, maybe not nowadays, I don't know. But looking back at like Mama Awards, like it's quite common for solo artists to collaborate.
Mm.
But different guy K-pop groups from different labels.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I like, that's why I like urine award shows or like Mama Awards so much. I've been watching a lot of Mama content recently because it's coming up and I feel like they're slowly brainwashing me, but they've got this Mama documentary series thing happening where they're like looking back at the history of Mama and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that is the show where you have these like cool collabs happening.
Yeah.
Like, you can't really do that on Music Bank or the show because everyone's promoting their comebacks. Like, there's no time for crossover. But, yeah. So, yeah. So, this is, like, pretty – it's not like they're veterans at this point, Katie.
No. Actually, I was thinking because there's been a lot of, like, commentary on Twitter lately or people talking about how BTS hasn't been super active this year. I mean, they've been pretty active, but not, like – the level to this kind of thing where we're talking about like, I don't know how many V lives they did in the space of 1 month here. But if you really think about it, at this point in their career, they were 2 years in. So they, at this point, were basically at the same point that TXT is now.
TXT's only debuted for 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's, I think it's interesting for two reasons. Like, you can see, like, that there is still this kind of, like, hunger in these younger groups, why they're, like, still doing so much content. And also, like, how far a group like TXT could go. I just love their new album so much.
I mean, if they're only at 2 years at this point, I mean, honestly, I have been thinking, like, I also really like the TXT album. But maybe I just really like the big hit slash hype, like music producers and writers and whatever. Yeah,
you're a company.
Because they're like cranking out tunes that I like.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, because I think P-Dawg does produce TXT songs as well.
Mm. I mean, so if you compare like the song GOT7 performed with Run, which BTS performed, it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think... maybe that, I mean, it depends on the label, obviously, but maybe that's where, like, label fandoms or whatever comes from. Because I think maybe I'm just a huge fan. Like, all the P-Dawg songs are really good. So, anyway. But yeah, Mama, if you have not watched any BTS Mama videos, do. Do a marathon. Watch them all.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's, like, so epic. Epic proportions.
Yeah.
I think Mama Awards themselves have recently done a BTS Legendary Performances compilation video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I mean, I think this 2015 performance is like the last kind of quote-unquote normal performance from BTS. Because starting in 2016, Mama becomes like a BTS concert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I was talking to our friend Claudia, or my friend Claudia, who you know, and she was saying that she's been in Hong Kong almost every time in the past when Mama's been happening, but it is impossible to get a ticket.
I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, all of your K-pop groups in one room.
No way.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
All right.
Let's get back to this episode. As I could go talk about their Mama performances forever. So this episode aired on 15th of December, 2015, 15-12-15, and it is called Treasure Hunt. So why is it called Treasure Hunt, Katie?
Basically, they're going to do a treasure hunt for hidden flags in a forest, and the prize is snacks.
I mean... I have learned to now always watch BTS content with food.
Yeah.
Because every time I watch anything they're doing, it just makes me so hungry. Even in this episode at the end when like, we'll talk about who wins, but someone gets rewarded a sausage snack and I'm like, ooh, I can use like a hot dog right now. Yep. Anyway, so this is in the same time as episode 7 because of the Seo Mi-do special, of which, Katie, you've tweeted about on our Twitter account. And you can tell it's like fall, like autumn time because of the leaves turning colors and such.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the premise of this episode, like I said, is to capture hidden flags in the forest. And the bonus, and I think it was originally meant to be the winner of the paintball session, but they lost track of that. So the bonus is going to be that 4 people are allowed to use ATVs, which is supposed to give them an advantage. And so instead of going based on who won the paintball challenge, they play rock, paper, scissors. And I feel like this might be our first rock, paper, scissors.
On Run BTS.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And I think what I like about this, is like the winning, like people from the rock, paper, scissors, or I don't know how to say it in Korean, but it sounds like Gaigaibo. Yeah. Anyway, they think they're winning by doing the ATVs.
Yeah, they do. But they're really, so pumped.
Yeah. I mean, other than the fact that you get to ride around an ATV, which I've done before and it is quite fun, like, you don't actually find flags any easier.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty early on, Suga smarts up and he jumps off the ATV and just starts running around.
Yeah. Can we just pause and appreciate Suga's super cute run?
Oh my gosh. So cute.
Like, it hasn't changed.
No, not at all.
Like, he still runs like this now in other, like, In the Soup or Run BTS episodes. Literally. Yeah. It's like signature Suga.
And it's so cute, the moments. And then he just, like, all of a sudden it's like, zoom. Oh, he's so cute.
So cute. All right, so what are some key moments in this episode for you?
I mean, my first thought is that they all look good, but something about Jimin is just, he just...
Yeah.
Maybe autumn is his moment? I don't know. He looked great.
I think it's long-haired Jimin. Like, I think, I know hair, because I think I was talking to, well, I was literally just talking to a friend today, and she's like, why does everyone have curtains in BTS or in K-pop? But it's like, hair makes such a huge difference.
Yeah.
Era by era, comeback by comeback, group by group, in terms of visual. And I feel like even when he had, I mean, he didn't have a helmet on this time or a hat on, but like, Jimin long hair looks great.
Yeah, he does.
That's like, I think recently I saw a clip of Jimin announcing that they're coming to some kind of, one of the shows in LA, and it's like, long hair Jimin is back.
Yep. No, you, like, know, I feel you, like, saw, you saw the EMA acceptance speech where they're all in like beige and black and they all look amazing.
Because I feel like this year they've pulled back so many looks from HYYH era.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is just one of them. I really hope, like, they never keep Jimin's hair the same way for very long.
No, but you know what? Maybe it's a sign, the HYYH references. Maybe it's we're getting a BTS universe comeback.
Maybe, maybe. All right, besides Jimin, let's chat J-Hope.
Yes, so classic J-Hope. Literally, who is surprised that J-Hope is scared driving the ATV around?
And he spends the entire episode being like, have you found flags? I haven't found flags. Where are you finding the flags? Have you found flags?
So, just such a J-Hope moment.
Such a J-Hope moment. He didn't even, like, there was no betrayal from him either. Like, he wasn't trailing anyone. He didn't steal any flag. He literally just seemed like he drove around in the ATV just asking those 3 questions he just said. And that was about it.
Yeah. Precious. It is, like, random to be rewatching this episode because we also just watched them play around in ATVs on In the Soup.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, how is JK, being, like, the youngest in the group, like, so good at ATV riding?
Yeah.
Like, he was maneuvering around Jin. He was, like, moving really fast. And I love that how he himself said the 3rd rule for riding an ATV is coolness.
Coolness.
I don't know if it translates directly or well, but I just was not expecting cheekiness from JK.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's hyped up on his paintball sprint.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is like his kind of show.
Yeah. He's in his element. And exactly. As a result, we do have some Slytherin behavior from JK, which is surprising.
I mean, as soon as I heard that this episode was like an individual challenge, that like thought, Katie, instantly flew into my mind. I was like, ready for some Slytherin moments?
Yes.
Although, rationale, maybe he's got Slytherin moments because we know that him and Jimin are really good friends and really tight. So maybe he's learning the Slytherin vibe from Jimin.
I mean, now we're getting into like some very millennial conversation, but I am not sure that I would define. Right. Okay. We have two Slytherin kings in this episode. We've got Jungkook, who basically, for context, swerves in and steals a flag from right under Jin's nose and drives right off with no mercy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've also got, of course, our Slytherin King Jimin. So if you compare the two, I would say, I'm calling this Slytherin moment because it feels like cheating from Jungkook, but I think this is just typical Gryffindor athleticism.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, he never lied, yeah. Right? And him stealing a flag from what Jimin was attempting to do isn't cheating or anything.
Yeah, it's just that he was faster.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe you're right. Although, I think, I mean, Gryffindor and Slytherin are quite linked, aren't they?
Yeah.
They share some traits, don't they?
Yeah. I think I've heard that Gryffindor and Slytherin are both, like, feelers, and Ravenclaw and Hufflepuffs are both thinkers.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, maybe.
Right, like, I feel like also JK's reaction to Yoongi taking the flag from him wasn't, like...
He wasn't mad.
Evil.
No.
Yeah, he wasn't mad, and he wasn't evil about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so on the other hand, we've got Jimin.
Yeah.
And Jimin, this is some true Slytherin energy.
Yeah.
So he, obviously, I don't know what, Jimin's pretty good at these, like, finding challenges.
Yeah.
So first he's finding a lot of flags. And then he realizes he's finding more flags than other people, so he hides them and pretends like he doesn't have any.
Yeah.
And first, I think it's just to, like, pretend like he doesn't have any so people don't try to steal them from him. And then he's like, wait, maybe I can get people to feel sorry for me and give me flags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Different level. What I was going to say is if Jimin was in JK's situation.
Okay.
And he saw that, you know, someone, Yoongi takes the flag and it's a sausage or something.
Yeah.
I feel like he would have had more of a reaction.
Mm.
Like, JK was like, oh, it's fine. I still got one and it was blank anyway. Whereas I feel like Jimin would have been like, mwahaha.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Jimin has an evil laugh, but there would be more than just a, oh, it's fine.
Yeah. So true. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. I did feel bad for J-Hope. I mean, he did manage to get a snack in the end.
Yeah, and he got the one that JK was excited about. He stole the sausage from JK.
It's true. All right, let's talk about V for a hot sec.
Oh, this is, I mean, we've talked before about how fun it is to watch these episodes from 6 years ago and see them be, like, the exact same.
Yeah, exactly.
But the context here is that, I guess in the very beginning, you kind of see V, RM, and Jimin making an alliance. So V, as he's playing and, like, struggling to find any flags, he eventually is just like, oh, I made an alliance with RM and Jimin, so they'll give me flags, and then I can get snacks. So, like, staff guy, do you want to just play on an ATV with me?
Yeah, he, like, didn't even play in the game.
No.
He didn't even try.
No, he didn't.
Like, I get that this is what makes V unique, but, like, that's so, like, anti what I believe. like as an attitude, right? Like, I know you're filming, I know you're probably tired from comeback season, but like, it's just a game. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. And this is actually kind of also V in like true maknae behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, well, they'll just sort me out.
Yeah. We made an alliance. They'll give me snacks.
Yeah. And Jimin's comment about V's alliance was quite funny as well.
What did Jimin say?
I don't remember what he said, but he's like, yeah, so V thinks we have some alliance.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as if like, we oh, actually he's have so naive. Yeah. But despite all his Slytherin ways, yes. You know, Jimin is all about sharing is caring.
Yeah. So in the end, he did give. So he ended up with 3 flags. He and RM had the most. And Jimin gave a flag to JK and a flag to V. So there's some like cute maknae moments at the end.
Yeah, plus I think that really shows like Jimin as like his Hyung behavior in the maknae line.
Yeah.
And then V's maknae behavior in the maknae line.
Yeah, going so far as to like act like a puppy and beg for the flag.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure fans appreciate some aegyo.
Yeah.
Regardless of the reason why. The other thing I wanted to flag is having watched, I know you haven't watched all the episodes, but having watched some myself, I think this is the first of many episodes where you have all these people, staff, who are videoing them, like running after them.
Yeah.
And being really out of breath and like seeing captions, like trying to keep up with them, but they're running too fast.
Yeah.
And normally it's JK, it's not Jimin. To be fair, if JK wasn't on an ATV, it would probably also be JK's camera person being like, why are you running so fast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. It was Jimin this time. He was really running for it.
Yeah. Maybe he's got a really good eye for detail, Jimin.
Yeah, because he always, I mean, the ones that I've seen where it's like hidden things like this, he does well. He finds things.
Yeah, exactly. How do you think you would fare if you did this challenge?
Oh my gosh, no, I would be terrible.
Who would you be if you had J-Hope, done this challenge?
For sure.
You think? I think I would probably be either an RM or a Yoongi.
Mm.
Like, realize that the ATV was a complete futile effort. And then try on going on foot.
Yeah, I think I'd be a J-Hope because I have never ridden an ATV. And if I got on one, I would spend so much time trying to figure out how to do it and be like freaked out. And then I wouldn't prioritize finding the flags.
I mean, I also think I would be like Yoongi because he did get stuck on the ATV a few times.
Yes.
And yeah, I'm not great at an ATV, but... Mm. I've only done it on flat roads, so I don't think that counts.
Polly, who was your star of the show?
Jimin. Because as soon as he said to the camera, we'll run really fast, that was like instant Slytherin energy. It's going to happen. He's going to do well. And we're just going to see characters. I think this is the point, like maybe a turning point for me for Run BTS, where Jimin will be my fave.
Yeah.
For many, many episodes to come. And I think this is the start. I mean, if they had photoshopped a picture of JK again on a different animal, maybe I would have chosen JK.
So now we know.
What about you?
Your type, Polly. We know it.
I just think that he, like, brings... Because in a variety show, right, you need characters that do things that are unexpected to mix it up a bit. Because if everyone was playing the game as they should, it'd be kind of boring to watch.
Yeah. So far, I think you're like your core characters that we've seen. You need a Suga who can MC and drive things forward and provide like sarcastic, funny commentary.
Yeah.
You need a J-Hope for comic relief.
Totally.
And you need a Jimin for... like sneakiness, good visuals, like interesting storylines.
Yeah, and then on occasion you need V, who just completely does his own thing randomly. So you're like, oh, because if everyone else was still doing the same thing, you'd be bored. But because V was doing something completely different, you're just like caught off guard and be like, what? What's
What is he
happening?
doing?
Yeah. So, what about you?
My star of the show was also Jimin. I mean, I already said I thought he looked great. You've got the long hair, visuals on point. I love the Slytherin energy, followed up by the heart of gold. Can't resist it.
It's true. I had a question. I mean, going back to the very short millennial topic, if Jimin is giving off Slytherin energy, would you be more Slytherin to like Jimin Slytherin energy? Or is it better if you're not from the Slytherin house?
I'm going to send you this whole thing about Hogwarts houses.
Please do. From
We can discuss
BTS
further offline.
versus Hogwarts crossover.
Actually, I was thinking at the end of season one of Run BTS, we could do a little like personality analysis and kind of
Yeah, I
go
like that.
into like we were just talking about like why does BTS work well in like a variety show context? Like, why do they work well as a group? Is it this like interplay of personalities that they have? And we can talk about like Hogwarts houses, MBTI, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool. All right. Shall we wrap it up?
Yeah, as much as I want to keep talking about Slytherin energy, I'm sure there will be more to come.
Yeah. All right, everyone. So you can join us in our Run BTS watch party. Next week, we'll be watching episode 9. You can tweet or DM us your thoughts at PodBangtan, and we might include them in our next podcast. Or you can join us in our live stream on Twitter on Tuesday evenings to discuss the episode with us live. And if you join us and you give us a wave, we will bring you right into the conversation.
Cool. We will see you next
See
time.
you next time. Bye.
Bye.